21 years ago tomorrow, where were you? All of us who are alive and can remember that, we know exactly where we were. It is a date, as President Roosevelt said, of the sneak attack on Pearl Harbor, December 7th, 1941. It is a date which will live in infamy. A date that we remember. A date that we still live in so many ways. We have... Can you turn the sound system off up there, maybe? God did. We have great organizations such as Tunnels to Towers. Frank Siller, who's been doing this work of love on behalf of his brother who died in the towers. So he ran in to save people. He lost his life. Before Mass, Gene and I were talking just about how the practice of faith seems to have declined. Not seems to, it has. I mean, we'd be foolish to not acknowledge that reality. Why? Well, because we've kicked God out. What is it that protects us individually, our families, our households, our country, from the throes of evil? And there have been evil empires in world history from the beginning. Not any individual person, but individual persons and then countries influenced by the father of lies and the liar from the beginning, a murderer from the beginning. Evil is personified. What is it that protects us? Ultimately, it's God. Oh, he allows evil. He does. And the answer to why is always because he's going to bring some good out of it, a greater good. When God allows evil, ingredient in that is suffering, and that can be instructive. It can be remedial. Right? When we got grounded, when we got spanked, we had to cut grass for the neighbor all summer for free to replace the window. Suffering. But when done with love, when allowed with love, it is healing. It is remedial. What happened on 9/11? 2001? God allowed suffering. And I would say mystically, because he had to. The reason I say that is because, as Gene and I were talking, have you noticed that God's not allowed in any institution in our land today? Not one. Oh, maybe lip service. Not a single institution in our land is God allowed. We've had courtrooms over the last 10 to 15 years at least, taking the Ten Commandments down. I shared with you being sworn in at a civil hearing. And there I stood, a Catholic priest with my collar on. Would you please raise your right hand and repeat after me? You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And they never finished it. And Catholic Stevens Point, they didn't finish it. And I know I've shared this with you. It's one of the most poignant statements I've heard and observations about 9/11. Remember what day of the week that was? I do, it was Tuesday. I'd flown into Buffalo, New York on Monday for meetings on Tuesday that never happened. And this priest who made this observation said, on Monday, abortions were happening like they always did. After 9/11, Planned Parenthood had to literally give them away to drum up business. On Monday, kids weren't allowed to pray in school. On Tuesday, you couldn't find a school, they weren't praying. That priest is ex-military, and he said, no atheists in foxholes. But man, our memory's short, isn't it? Look at the churches today. Remember the churches after 9/11? Full. Full to capacity. Not on Christmas, not on Easter, on any run-of-the-mill Sunday, they were full. Confession lines, hours long. How long did that last? A couple of months. It's not so bad. We got things to do, places to go. God will understand. Got important things on Sunday. Okay. Why did he have to allow it to happen? Santa protection was pushed away. We shoved him out. There was a priest back in the, I think, 200s. His name was Marcion. He's a heretic. Marcion held that there could not be the same God of the Old Testament and the same God of the New Testament because he'd have to be schizophrenic in order for it to be the same God. From our first reading, the Lord said to Moses, I see how stiff-necked this people is. Let me alone then, that my wrath may blaze up against them to consume them. That will make of you a great nation. Marcion said, that can't be the same God as the New Testament. This God who's going to blaze up with wrath and destroy his own people? Have you ever considered the violence in the Old Testament? God apparently sending people in to destroy an entire city, man, woman, children, animals, and the lot. What kind of God is that? Have you ever considered that maybe that is a metaphor for what our sins actually deserve? What our sins, what the sin of pushing God out actually deserves? That when an individual or an entire country says, God, you're not welcome here, not allowed. When an entire country says, you're not allowed. That doesn't deserve what is outlined in the Old Testament. It is what's deserved. I've said it and I've meditated on it. That should be me up there. And that should be you. But it is the same God of the Old Testament that says, yes, it should be, but I'm not going to let it. I noticed something for the first time. Why have we allowed our country to kick God out? Because we Catholics, starting with us priests and the bishops, all of us, because we didn't preach the truth. Somewhere along the line, if you look in your missalette at the gospel reading, you'll see brackets for the short version of this reading. I know it's a long one. I'm not saying this about you. It's a long reading and we got places to go, right? Let's not spend too much time at church. And again, I'm not ascribing that to you. You notice what part of this gospel they cut out? The meat and potatoes of it. The prodigal son. Well, let's save some time. Let's not read about that. Let's read about a coin and a lamb. I get the metaphor. But how about reading about the son and the father? So this same God who tries to articulate to us through the prophets of the Old Testament, here's what our sins deserve, is the same one depicted in this story who runs out to his son, who basically flipped the bird to his dad and said, I wish you were dead. That's what the son says, in not so many words. When do you get the inheritance? When your dad dies. And the son said to his dad, I wish you weren't even breathing. I want your stuff far more than I want you. When we turn from God, I'm in the front of that line, folks, not wagging a finger. When we turn from God, that's what we're saying. I wish you were dead. I wish you didn't exist. And if we push him, he won't push back. He won't. He's the ultimate gentleman. And he's the ultimate dad. Because when we finally turn back to our senses, when we finally, like this prodigal son, well, what have I done? Where have I gone? Nothing is so bad. That we can't turn back to our Father. Nothing. I probably pointed this out to you, but did you know back in those days when they wrote this on paper, parchment, a man, especially a rich man, would never even walk towards somebody, let alone run. They always had to come to him. His dad ran. To heck with the money, to heck with the status. Here's my boy. How can we kick him out? How? How can we allow people to lead us who don't want anything to do with them? How can we allow people to be in charge of our society who say, yeah, I know you brought this life into being, but I decide it's not worth anything. How can we allow people to lead us who say, yeah, I know you created the institution of marriage, but I'll define it for myself? These are the issues that we push him out with. I know you're God, you created everything, you deserve worship, but not in our schools. What's it going to take? I hate to think of what it might take. But you know what? This can all be healed. One person at a time. God our Father waits for us with His Son and the Holy Spirit every single day. Question is, do we have time for Him? He's got all the time in the universe for us. Which God do we believe in? The God who seemingly is vengeful, or the God of mercy? If we come to know Him for who He truly is, would we ever want to not talk about Him? There's an entire world and a growing number of people outside these doors that need to know about this God of mercy. If they don't hear about Him from you, then who? And if not today or tomorrow or the next opportunity, then when? I know this has gotten long. I'm going to end with this. This just came to mind. Cardinal Francis George, he was a Cardinal Archbishop of Chicago. In his last priest convocation with the priests of Chicago, he would die that year. He said that before there was a Vatican, before there were curia offices, before there were parishes, Catholic charities, and all these other good things, not bad, before there was any of that, though, you know what the church had? The only thing the church had? Evangelists. People who were willing to proclaim Jesus Christ risen from the dead at the cost of their own lives, if necessary. And so, I repeat the question, and I include myself in this question. So it's not just, but if not you, then who? And if not now, then when?